Hi there, folks. This is Tony for the Minute to Midnight show, coming to you from New Zealand. With me on the show, I have John Heller, who's a friend in Ohio, and John's obviously a regular guest on this show, and I thoroughly enjoy having John on, so welcome back.
Good to be back again, Tony.
Absolutely. Well, John, we're talking off air how many things we could talk about. Let's just start with Pope Francis. World nearing breaking point from climate change. From Rome, Italy, climate change has brought the world to the breaking point, Pope Francis asserted in his introduction to a three-day climate summit to be held in the Vatican in May. A firm believer in the climate crisis, the pontiff wrote that he has heartfelt concerns for our suffering planet, contending that the world in which we live is collapsing because of humanity's failure to adequately address the crisis, which, of course, is just a great big smoke signal where they're using climate change, supposedly the supposed climate crisis, to bring in all sorts of legislations and changes. But, John, could you imagine Pope Francis, they claim he's the vicar of Christ or the representative of Peter on earth. Can you imagine Jesus or Peter running around telling everyone that the climate crisis is the biggest issue we have to face and we have to address that? Forget about salvation and people's hearts, you know. It's all about we've got to save the planet through this alleged climate crisis. What a load of rubbish.
You know, but he remember, it was, how many years ago did he sign that?
2015.
Document. Was it that
yep.
long ago?
Yep.
Laudato Si,
yeah, 2015.
Whatever that's called. And, you know, Francis has been this, I guess if we're talking about climate change and weather, we could talk about he's a lightning rod for a lot of things. This sort of emerging spirituality in the world, I think I mentioned when we were talking just before we went on the air, that I see this spirituality thing behind so much that's going on in the world. And it doesn't matter if it's the Middle East crisis or it was what was going on in World War II or the climate change thing. But there, you know, it's interesting that, you know, as we talk about end times and Bible prophecy and that sort of thing, it's becoming more and more apparent that everybody has an apocalypse that they're worried about. Mm. So the climate change people do this. And the problem is when I talk about Bible prophecy and I think the Lord's return is close and that type of thing, it doesn't, I don't have the power to change anybody's life. You know, people maybe get ticked off about what I say, but when you get into the realm of the elites and the head of this big sort of what claims to be a Christian institution, I don't think it is, the Roman Catholic Church is, you know, there's a lot of power behind the people that want to control these things. Mm-hmm. And everywhere I look, there's this, it's a pseudo-religious thing, and then there's a control factor to it that's very concerning. And so I think Pope Francis is out front on this. He's been pushing this now, as you said, for 11 years. This has been a big deal to him. And he's the interesting thing is, as the supposed vicar of Christ, he should understand that you really can't be adding things to the gospel.
Yeah.
And he's adding things to the gospel. And now it's like, if you don't have the right view on climate change, you're unsaved and a pagan. And that's pretty, pretty concerning. And so it sort of leads me to believe, like I've said for a long time, that, you know, he's more about liberation theology and Marxism and changing things and breaking down the institutions and putting something in its place than he is about historical Christianity.
World government, obviously, that's what he's really, I mean, he's stated that, having world governing bodies for this stuff, you know. So, yeah, he's a figurehead in a sense for the whole green Gaia worship, which is what I really see it. as and flowing in from that, John, there was an article I sent you this morning. I saw Whitney Webb, bankers use climate scam in Latin America to introduce digital currency globally. Wall Street bankers, intelligence agencies from the US, UK and Israel, tech billionaires and other powerful interests developed a scheme called Green Plus to entangle local governments across Latin America to take control of vast swathes of public lands for use as carbon credits. The ultimate objective is to monetize air, water and other resources as commodities. The currency in Argentina has been devalued and people are being pushed into dollar-denominated stablecoins like Tether that allows the FBI to spy on users. The goal is programmable currency, whether it is issued by central banks or private companies, and that allows bankers to control the money and spending over all people. There's a lot more in that article, but this is exactly it. This is what they're using, the climate change emergency, which, I mean, even the White House was mentioning possibility of declaring a global climate or a climate emergency, which would give them powers similar to what they had in COVID. So it's all about control, John. And then you've got Elon Musk with all his satellites flying around everywhere and the potential to monitor everyone and check, make sure you're not using your carbon too much. All of this stuff, man, it's just nuts.
Tony, I think we don't really realize how insidious all of this really is.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a big power company. American Electric Power is our main provider, and then we can have somebody else that buys the power from them, and then AP operates. But I get an email every month from American Electric Power, and it's like a report card. How are you doing compared to your neighbors on power usage? Wow. Oh, wait a minute. I'm buying it from you. What do you care?
Yeah.
And so what you see is this diversity, equity, inclusion thing. And a lot of that, by the way, came out of a big push by the FII Institute, the Financial Investment Initiative Institute from Saudi Arabia, pushing a green agenda in diversity, equity, inclusion. And now why would Saudi Arabia do that? Well, because they have the oil, and the price of oil will go up if less people are producing it. They're going to continue to produce the oil. And there's no way that the world can get by without using, and I don't like the term fossil fuels. I think that's a misnomer. Yeah, yeah. I think that was created to kind of get everybody to believe that they were rare. I personally think there's some process in the earth. Now, it may be that we're running out of the ability to tap in to this constantly renewing source that comes from within, processes within the earth. And that's probably true. But I'm looking at articles. So let's just go back on a couple of things that you talked about that came from Whitney Webb's interview or article or whatever it was that she wrote or said. This monetizing nature that's happening, that they're sort of creating like digital tokens of nature so that the air above a certain piece of land becomes tokenized, monetized in some way. And I'm looking at an article from Forbes magazine back in August of 2023, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, saying the dangers of government efforts to monetize nature. And so Whitney Webb, she is correct in her article that they're doing this in Central America to try to tie this into central bank digital currencies and control. But, the Biden administration, or I think more properly, the O'Biden administration, as I like to call it, released draft guidance last week for accounting for ecosystem services in regulatory cost-benefit analysis. And it's very interesting because I don't know how far they're going to be able to go with this. There's currently pending in front of the U.S. Supreme Court, at least one case, and I believe there's going to be a decision on it before the term ends in June. And it's an interesting case in that what Congress has done is they create the Environmental Protection Agency, and then they create sort of broad parameters of what they want the EPA to do here in the United States. And then they say, and the Environmental Protection Agency shall have the authority to draft regulations to implement this legislation. And this case in front of the Supreme Court, if it goes the right way, it may put a stop to that. So there's been tremendous abuse by the EPA, and it continues. I mean, now it's over here in monetizing nature, tokenizing nature to use in a digital currency scheme to control everything. And so the case, the Supreme Court case, may say that's not allowed. But the Supreme Court says stuff is not allowed, like forgiving student loans, and the Biden administration goes ahead and does it anyway because, you know, it's okay because they want to win the next election, assuming there is a next election, which, you know, there are a lot of days I'm wondering if there will be. Yeah. We were treated to this insane spectacle every day of a case in New York, which... I heard Alan Dershowitz. So Alan Dershowitz is a leftist. He's a lefty, classic liberal guy, very smart, done a lot of criminal cases in his life. And he says, I've been watching this case. I've been following it. I've read the indictments. I've read the papers. I've listened to the arguments. And he said, I can't tell you what it is that they're charging Donald Trump with. And that's sort of the essence of due process of law, which is at the sort of the central nervous system of our constitutional form of government here in the United States, that you're able to determine by looking at the law what you're not allowed to do. And he said, there's nobody that can sit down and read the law books and determine that this is what they're not allowed to do. Now, translate that over to the tokenization of, you know, power and energy, and they're creating, I don't know how to say this. It does sound like I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist, but, and you know, I try to avoid that label at all costs, but they're trying to lessen the amount of energy. So we're decommissioning coal plants in the United States. And there's this theory that wind and solar are going to make up the gap. But there's a big difference between a nuclear plant and a coal-burning power plant and a gas-burning power plant and solar and wind. One is the plants, coal, nuclear, and gas, they can operate 24/7. Yeah. We need power 24/7. Solar doesn't work, but maybe 30% of the time. Maybe 30% of the time, and wind doesn't have a much more reliable, but they're trying to push everybody into electrical vehicles. And then I've seen a lot of articles in the last week. There was a big article in today's Wall Street Journal, came out yesterday, that everywhere I look around here, they're building these massive data centers, and it's for AI, it's for storing data, it's for cloud-based services and information. And the world's changed in that regard. I was talking to I work part-time at a golf course because I get free golf. And I was talking to one of the young guys there. He's in college. And I said, you know, I was like 29 before I used a computer of my own at work. And they look at me like, how's that even possible? Mm-hmm. How were you able to do these things? I said, you know, I would work on a case for 3 years and I would send 60 letters. And in one of the last cases I had before I left my firm, I had to produce all my emails between me and a client over the course of a year in a bankruptcy matter. And I had 2,500 emails between me and the client that I wrote. let alone what they sent me asking me questions. And I used to have 60 or 70 in a 3-year long case. And in 9 months, I had 2,500. Mm. And they look at me like, how's that possible? But all that information has to be stored someplace and transmitted some way. And it uses electricity. And so the article in the Wall Street Journal this morning said, like down in Georgia, where they're building huge data centers, they're building them here all over the place. And they're spending billions of dollars for construction costs. And the AI is going to only increase the cost, and cryptocurrency only increases the demand for electricity. And they're saying is, we don't have enough power. So what's the solution? And so I get stuff from, so I don't know, does the Google and Meta that have these multi-billion dollar server farms 20 minutes from my house, do they get letter, do they get a report card each month from AEP telling them how they're doing compared to everybody else? Somehow I don't think so. No. And so I'm sitting here looking at it, and it's sort of like, so in a world that's running out of resources and power, electricity, where's the give in the system? And the dark part of it for me says the give in the system is you and me. Mm. You know, we sort of become expendable. And I know we weren't really going to talk about this, but, you know, so I'm looking at this article over at a great blog by Tim Hinchcliffe called The Sociable. Highly recommend that you follow this. And so here's an article that was just earlier this week. Yuval Noah Harari, our friend from Israel and our
World Economic Forum guy.
Yeah. World Economic Forum, false prophet, or whatever you want to call him, says that AI should stand for alien intelligence, that banks and governments should create more money to build trust, and that Bitcoin is bad because it's built on distrust. And so he spoke last week at a, he was sort of the last speaker at a thing called the BIS Innovation Summit. Now, what was that summit talking about? It was talking in large part about central bank digital currencies, digitizing everything. And BIS, that's the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. Yeah. That's the central bank of the central banks in the world. And I'm sure you've seen that clip of Augusto Carstens, who works at BIS, saying, well, you know, it's kind of hard to do an imitation of him because it sounds like Klaus Schwab.
Well, you just got to look like this, John.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it looks like his carbon footprint is, I mean, I'm a big guy, but this guy puts he makes me feel like I'm slim.
Yeah.
And he says, but we want to implement this so we can determine everything that's spent and where it's spent, and it's about control. And all the others, Christine Lagarde from the European Bank, you know, she they're all the same thing. We're going to implement this for control. And it ties into what you were just talking about, what the Pope talks about. We have to have this respect and concern and worship of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing this incredible convergence in this space of earth worship, Gaia worship that you mentioned, and a spirituality behind it, and the Pope's involved. And now it's sort of part of the Christian statement of faith that you have to be on board with the world government on climate change.
Well, you know, like apparently every capital city from Latin America has signed onto that Green Plus agenda thing that I mentioned earlier, which is basically just, you know, either they don't have a clue what they're doing, or they're all just part and parcel of the whole elite agenda, and they know exactly what they're doing, because the end result will be just mass surveillance, and the programmability of those currencies like Augustin Carstens was saying, that big guy we were mentioning, you know, that's what it's all about. It's programmability of that digital currency so they can switch it off and tell you what you can and can't spend your money on. And basically all of Latin America seems to be signing on to this. And that'll just be a trial run for the rest of the world, of course.
Well, but it's happening in other places. I mean, yeah. I get these emails from people in Australia, and I can't remember the name of the Adelaide government or whatever. I don't know. They're insane. They're just insane. And I get stuff from Canada. I mean, they've got like a bill up in Canada that's essentially implementing government censorship of everything they don't like. And the EU's doing it. And it seems like there's nothing to stop. And so climate change, Earth, that's one of the pivot points around which all of this control apparatus is being implemented. And like I said, the AI guys, they're just going on their merry way building all these giant server farms. And then on the other side, some of the energy people are saying, you know, we don't have enough electricity. Somebody's going to have to do without. And I'm just thinking that it's not really them.
No, it won't be the government or the big surveillance and data collection places. And it won't be the people running the satellites that are flying over in strings in the sky, and people are going, oh, isn't that wonderful? If the night sky is filled with Elon Musk's Starlink satellites, you know, all in a line, thousands of them. How is that beneficial?
And you know, I mean, if you want to see more of the religious government tie-in on all of this, I mean, there's this thing coming up in, so this is May, I think it's September 15th. In New York, the Summit of the Future at the UN, where they're going to sort of try to, I don't know, get everybody back on board with all of the sustainable development goals and that type of thing. And you see these conferences, you see COP27, COP28, COP29. And I'm looking at, and there's like this stuff that, Tony, I try to track things that I think are relevant towards pointing us that, you know, we're sort of nearing the end of this and the Lord's going to return. And I'll be honest with you, I can't keep up anymore.
Yeah.
And, or I'll talk about it and then I'll forget about it for a few weeks and I'll go back and there's like a million things that have happened. So Prince Charles, and you know, there's some friends of ours who have the belief that Prince Charles is
King
the son
Charles
of perdition.
Now. Yeah.
King
yeah.
Charles, that's yeah. right, King yeah. Charles. And he started this thing back in 2021 called Terra Carta. Yeah. And go look at the website. It's sustainable-markets.org. Terra Carta. And I mean, I was in England a few years back, and I went over to the British Library, and I saw one of the original Magna Cartas that still exists. Yeah. You know, it was a great document on how humans are going to interrelate. It sort of is a very foundational document in Western civilization. But King Charles is of an opinion of himself that he's going to start this thing called Terra Carta to tie in all of this to governing in the earth. But do you know he started another one recently?
No,
another one related to this. It's called Astra Carta.
Oh, I didn't know about this one.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, not just concerned about the Earth, we're concerned about the universe now.
Right.
And our place in it. So and when you look at the symbols and the things that they use and the kind of imagery that they use, it's very, to me, it's very disconcerting. And to me, it just smacks of global religion, global government, control, and that type of thing. All of the things which passages like Revelation 13 and others indicate that this is coming. in the future. And I look, from theologically, I'm a futurist. I think that, you know, there's prophecies in the Bible that have not yet been fulfilled completely, some partially, some have to be fulfilled completely. But it's hard for me to sit there and think that people don't see it that way, that are part of the church. I wrestle with that. But there's this, it's the imagery, the documents, the conferences. I mean, Tony, it used to be the UN. Then it was the UN and all their subcommittees. Then all of a sudden, here comes the World Economic Forum. Well, that wasn't enough. So now the United Arab Emirates, they start the World Government Summit.
Yeah.
And that's not quite enough. So the Saudis start the Financial Investment Initiative. And then the other one that's tied into this orbit is a thing called the St. Petersburg SPEIF. It's St. Petersburg Economic Investment Forum or something like that, run by Putin and the Russian government. So they're all in on it.
Yeah.
And I just kind of have to think that they're concerned about me using too much of what they view as their stuff. That's why I get that little report card from my electricity provider every month. Like, you know, there's only two people. I mean, it essentially says this study. There's only two people in your household and you're using too much. Well, do you know how big my house is relative to their house? And they're never home anyway, because I never see them. But it's crazy. It's just insane.
Well, that's where it's going to go in the future if they have their way, where they will put caps on these types of things initially. I mean, the Iran goal is complete control, digitalization of everything. I believe the mark of the beast will end up with something that's a conglomeration of, like they were saying, monetizing air, you know, and water and all of that stuff being part of it. I think everything will become a commodity, and gold and silver and all of that. And so, you know, when the souls and bodies of humans will become also like a digitized commodity. So everything right. will be like that. That's their goal. And there isn't really there's not a happy picture in any of this for what they want.
Can I just read for you a little bit from the Astra Carta part of the Sustainable Markets website? So they have this big seal. It's got the crown on it. And then underneath, it's got like the solar system and planets and everything out there. And it says to care. And so this is Prince Charles, okay? King Charles, his thing. To care for the infinite wonders of the universe. And this is what he says, the Astra Carta. Recognizing the growing role of the private sector in space activity and exploration, the Astra Carta offers an ambitious roadmap for the private sector to lead the acceleration of sustainable practices across global space-related industries. And to the need for stakeholders, there's that word again, to consider environmental and sustainable impacts beyond our planet. It's ambitious. Its ambitions encourage a focus on placing sustainability at the center of space activity.
Right.
So, I mean, that certainly comes from somebody with very humble view of himself.
Yeah, very much
so. He said cynically.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, in the whole AI space is developing so quickly. If you can get a hold of a Jason Wang, who's the head of NVIDIA, and, you know, and if you invested $1,000 in NVIDIA, I mean, you would be you'd be $100+ million net worth if you just left it there for the time being. And they're not even the biggest player in the space. Mm-hmm. They're providing the chips and the backbone. But do you know who the biggest player is? So I get contacted by people because of, you know, they see me and they say, you know, I think maybe I can give John some inside information. And so I vet these people. You know, the biggest player in the AI space is Microsoft.
Yeah.
And did we talk about this before? Because I had a conversation that wasn't identified, but I put two and two together. That earlier this year, they buy processing time for AI. You know, they like buy computer space to use for a period of time. And the biggest purchase happened earlier this year. And it sort of shocked the industry. Now, I did not have them tell me exactly who it was, but it's pretty easy to figure out. They bought like four times the processing capacity of anybody had ever bought before. It shocked the industry. And who bought it? Well, it's an organization that has a conference in Switzerland every year.
The World Economic Forum.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Yeah.
And I mean, Tony, I have, well, I think everybody, the illusion that I could keep myself private at this point in history, and I'm 70, so, you know, I'm not long for the world anyway, I think, but statistically speaking, so they know who I am. And so I've signed up with some of their forums and information stuff. Tony, they just had a big conference last week. Or within the last 2 weeks. And one of the things there was Larry Fink from BlackRock spoke at this conference. You know, he was one of the panelists. And here's what he said. This is kind of chilling when you understand that this guy probably controls more money than anybody other individual on the planet right now. I can argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. These countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. The social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations. World Economic Forum meeting, April 2004. I'm not making that up. I've gone and dug out. I have the video, and he actually said this.
Wow. I mean, that's
this is. And so I don't know if that's sort of beyond even what you think is. I mean, and the problem is, there's so much of this going on that even though there are some of us watching the space, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that just sounds very much part of the whole depopulation agenda and humans being expendable. The elite only need a handful and the rest of it can be done by machines in the utopia.
So did Larry Fink talk about, maybe these AI centers need to cut back their use of power and become more efficient? Well, by the way, they are more efficient. Jason Wang, he said that from like where we were a year or two ago, we're 1,000 times beyond where we were. There was that Moore's Law thing. It doubled every 2 years. Mm. And he said, now they're talking like increasing by 1,000 times in 10 years. So if you start, say, 15 years ago, so in 10 years, starting 15 years ago, the computer processing power increased by 1,000 times. Then from what would be now be 5 years ago till 5 years in the future, it'll increase another 1,000 times. That means that what it was compared in 5 years, it'll be 1,000,000 times more powerful than it was 20 years ago.
You know, John, I mean, all of this is why I can't see the return of Jesus being all that far away. I mean, a handful of years away, not decades away. Because the way this is going exponentially, this world will just, I mean, you can't even imagine what it would be like in 20 years' time. And so I can't see Jesus' return being all that far away.
I kind of think so too. I mean, they asked the, I think she's head of some division of IBM. She was on a panel. I think this was at Davos in January or February. And they were talking about quantum computing, which will change. I mean, you think, and they want these godlike capabilities.
Yeah.
They really want this. And she said, well, is the development of quantum, is that going to lead to some kind of techno apocalypse? And she said, yeah, it is. That's just, it's sort of, yeah, it is. And let's continue to go forward. So do you think Larry Fink's going to stop it? Do you think Bill Gates or Microsoft or Sergey Brin from Google or any of these guys are going to stop it?
No. But they're all megalomaniacs anyway. And
they are. They always have been.
Yeah. And even they're not the top of the pile. There'll be people pulling strings above those people, which goodness only knows how much megalomania they have. And they, I'm sure, will be directly tied into Satan and Lucifer and the whole, you know, plan for the beast and the AI, I think, which will be a big part of the beast. I don't believe AI is the beast as such, but I believe that will create the ability for the image and all of that. Anyway, I don't want to go there. But the thing is, you know, John,
I got a few friends together and we did a couple roundtables on technology.
Yeah.
You know, and we just sat around and like we had this agenda and I don't think we've reached 10% of what we wanted to talk about in any of the two and a half hour long roundtables that we did. Because there's too much going on.
Yeah, you can't keep up with it.
Right.
And John, this is the whole thing. The world's in complete chaos and we're being bombarded by sensationalism around this chaos constantly in the media in all forms. And, you know, if people are totally saturated in it all the time, it could be incredibly discouraging and not a lot of hope in it. But we can't, as Christians, live in hopelessness. We have to – we're not of this world. And if all of this stuff is going in the direction that the Bible tells us is going to go, we can't change it. But as individuals, we can change our own responses and and our own peace of mind and our own, you know, relationship with God. And maybe that we need to be more focused on that as individuals more than we I mean, we have to be aware of what's going on, but we can't let it consume us.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not giving up, you know, and I think sort of sounding the alarm is one thing I could do.
We both
but do. I don't know that it's I don't know that it's going to change it. You know, and ultimately people got to get right with Jesus. I'm going to preach on Sunday from Romans chapter 2, which is kind of like I think the title of my sermon is exactly who do you think you are? You know, we're great at pointing out everybody else's shortcomings. Mm. And in doing that, we're probably condemning ourselves. And the only hope is Jesus for everybody. And I mentioned to you, and I know we don't have time to talk today. And I don't want to open the can of worms about the Middle East. But something is going on. I have an Orthodox Jewish friend. I've interviewed him a few times. We've talked and just sat and talked. And he wrote an article for the Washington Times, and I'm not sure I got the title exactly right. Now, this is an Orthodox Jewish guy, and he runs a thing called Genesis 12:3 Foundation, which is about sort of fostering lines of communications between Christians and Jews, something I fully support. But he wrote an article for the Washington Times, Orthodox Jew, and the title was "For peace, what Gaza needs for peace is Jesus."
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah.
Now, he's not on board with Jesus, but he recognizes, okay, there's something going on with Jesus. And so I'm, you know, I'd love to have, you know, everybody come to faith in Jesus and
God'll, faith in Jesus, not Pope true Francis's faith,
right,
version of
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not just, you don't want him to be just sort of some kind of talisman, you know, that yeah. you wear to protect you, or, you know, sort of like a fairy godmother or fairy yeah. godfather or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, true faith in Jesus. Mm. And that's a process for all of us. And so I'm just trying to think about what do we do to point people towards that? You know, I think sounding the alarm and telling them that, you know, this is what I think the prophets were talking about a long time ago, that this is the way the world was going to go.
Yeah.
And it's accelerating way beyond. Yeah. If I wish I had a dollar every time somebody said, boy, you know, I thought the world would be over before we saw this. And so I say, well, what's going to happen before the Lord returns? Well, at least everything that you've seen so far, and plus some more.
Yeah.
And so you might as well just, you know, fasten your seatbelt, but put your faith in the Lord, because that's really where your hope is. So I, you know, I talk about this stuff. I don't sit around worried all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe it's a function of age, but I think it's more a function of the faith that you have, that, you know, what did one of my fellow elders say at church one Sunday? Don't worry about the devil. The worst he can do is kill you. But when he does that, you win, because you have that hope of eternity with Jesus. So.
Anyway. Yeah, well, that's true. Yep. Well, that's another really fascinating discussion, John. It went really fast, as they always do. But thank you again for your insights.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you.
Awesome, and bless you too. And folks, remember, you can find John Haller at Fellowship Bible Chapel on YouTube. And you can find us at aminutetomidnight.com. Please subscribe to us if you haven't already done so. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. A big thank you to the small number of folks that do donate to A Minute to Midnight. And if anyone else would like to help by donating, it's always much appreciated. And you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. Well, God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode in a few days' time.